What kind of jobs would you like to see created for your district?
You know, I think it's important for us to start, you know, we have some good manufacturers. We've been talking about Chrysler, and obviously they're going to be adding 1,800 jobs in this next year. And we're very excited about having the Dodge Dart being produced in Belvedere in my district. So that's great. I think the other thing that we need to be excited about too is our agriculture industry. That's the number one industry in the 35th district right now, and obviously we need to promote that agriculture industry as well. So I think we can create some jobs there, equipment manufacturing and those types of things. And obviously we want to do what we can to support our small businesses. You know, that's the challenge in Illinois right now is we are where our businesses are leaving. So, you know, my goal is to have put in place policies where we have retain our businesses and have business retention and then help our businesses grow.
What role does state government have then in helping businesses grow?
Well, I think part of our problem is we have overregulation of our businesses. We put so many regulations on them, it's just onerous for them to operate. So one of the things that I supported last year was workman's comp reform. We had the second highest workman's comp rates in the nation, and we needed to roll those back. So we've taken a first step at that. I think we need to go back and do even more under workman's comp. Again, rolling back the regulations that we put on our businesses and just freeing up our employers so that they're comfortable in employing more people and expanding their facilities. I think the other thing that has hurt us this year, and we're seeing it time after time, as a matter of fact, Caterpillar just came out this week and said they had a manufacturing division that they were going to move to Illinois, and now they're not going to do that. They're moving it to another state. And a big part of that is because of the 67% tax increase that we just put on businesses last January. I wasn't there when they did it, but I would not have supported that, and I think that that's something we need to look at repealing.
Jumping to education then, what direction should the state follow to support K-12 education?
Well, you know, I think that our education funding this year is going to be flat. Obviously, it's no surprise to anybody that our budget is, severely underfunded and we are not paying all our back bills and those types of things. So I think the things that we can do to support our education is encourage the voucher process. I'm, you know, strongly in favor of vouchers so that children, particularly in low-performing schools, their parents can choose to have them go elsewhere so they can get a quality education. I'm supportive of the charter school process where the school work with the school district to establish a school. I think one of the things we passed last year was to put in longer school days for the city of Chicago. You know, it's been found that with their shorter school days, when they actually ultimately graduate from high school, they've spent between 2 and 3 years less in the classroom than the rest of the children in Illinois. So I think those kinds of reforms are things that we can do that don't really cost us money that will improve the education of our kids.
What about the educational, the administrative, and the support structure in Illinois? I'm thinking in terms of the regional superintendents, what supports our locals who end up, you know, with paying the most for the education.
Right. You know, I think that we're taking a look at the regional superintendents' the structure of those offices. You know, this year Governor Quinn decided that he wanted to close those offices. And unfortunately, those are elected officials who gave up other opportunities to run for office and hold those positions. And they were ran for a 4-year term. Now that they've got that, the governor obviously cannot just wave a wand and make them go away. And so by defunding them, he's really caused a lot of issues in the state and the educational system as far as the ROEs go. So, we've last year voted to pay them, which I think was the right thing to do, is to when people are working and they are continuing to do their job for 5 months without pay, I think it was the right thing to do for us to pay them for that 1 year. And then now we've formed a commission to take a look at the duties that they perform and what their functionality is and how it fits into the structure of the state. And you know, we're going to examine, that commission is going to examine all the angles of this to see if there's some savings that can be made, who best can most affordably take care of those duties, pass the, and whether they should go to the State Board of Education or if they should go elsewhere, or is the regional offices the most reasonably funded place to have those duties performed.
Let's take a look at higher education then. Mm-hmm. What's the state's role in college-level funding for college-level education and beyond?
I think that the state's role in college-level education should be supportive. You know, obviously, over the years, our funding to higher ed has dropped significantly and has caused tuition, obviously, to go up so we can sustain the level of education that we have. Again, it's all a matter of budgetary issues. You know, as many times as people come with programs, and even, you know, with sustaining the programs that we have, it's really not affordable at the rate that we're growing right now. So I would like to see, you know, the state maintain its level of funding to the universities. And I think the other way that we can support them is by reducing some of our unfunded mandates that we've done. Now, one of the things that I supported and have signed on to co-sponsor legislation to eliminate the General Assembly scholarships, because, you know, although they were handled properly out in our area where we had committees that would examine them and make the decisions independent of anybody else, they were not always handled that way by other legislators throughout the state. And unfortunately, it became a program that was fraught with fraud in other areas. So, and the fact that the state of Illinois doesn't have any money, we cannot continue to put that onus on the universities to pay for those scholarships because they weren't being reimbursed for them. So I signed on to eliminate the General Assembly scholarships, which will save about $13 million a year.
Let's move to health insurance. What's your position on creating health insurance exchanges in preparation for healthcare reform overall?
I think that creating a health insurance exchange is premature. You know, it's part of the we were going to be under the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, we would be required to do that. Illinois is, some people in Illinois are trying to push forward with that in advance of the Obamacare requiring us to do that. I think the problem with that is you once you create that entity and you start bringing people, additional people on the rolls and having to pay for them, should Obamacare get overturned, we will then have all those people on the rolls that we'll be actually footing the bill for. So I think that we're getting out ahead of ourselves, and we really should not be creating those exchanges.
And one of the big hot issues in Springfield, pension reform.
Oh, yes.
Should Illinois pursue a court test of changing current pensions, or why or why not?
Well, I would rather see, as opposed to a court test, I'd really rather see all the groups that are involved in pension reform sit down and have a conversation. I think that they're starting to move in that direction. The governor has formed a working group, a pension working group. But I think that we need to have everybody involved in that situation sit down and have a conversation rather than get into a contentious and what could be very expensive court case.
How do you see it working? Would a split system, new people coming in and keeping current employees at same levels, would that work? Or what do you see working here?
Well, we already have the split system in place because as of January of 2011, the laws had changed. So people hired after that date are in what they call a tier two system, which is an older retirement date, fewer benefits, that type of thing. So we have that split system right now.
Is there anything you would think would work to go further in this, or what do you see as some ideas that could help make the pension problem work or resolve it at least? Or,
well, you know, I think that there are a number of things, but I think the overall situation, we're $85 billion deficit, certainly not sustainable. And I think that we need to we need to live up to our expectations, that the commitment that we made to our employees when we hired them. But I also think that we need to make sure that the system is sustainable, which it currently is not. So, you know, because we really don't want to have a situation where at the end of the day, the pension systems go into receivership and then a court decides that people are going to get pennies on their dollar. So we want to really make sure that we bring the employees and the unions and everybody else that's involved to the table to sit down and have a conversation about and work together in a cooperative manner to decide what are we going to do about pension reform that's going to be workable for everybody, that's fair, it's constitutional, and it's affordable.
And now, since we're leaping all over the place, how about domestic energy? What can Illinois do in addressing domestic energy policy?
You know, I think since this is a heavily agricultural district, and we are a lot of our corn crop goes to the ethanol plant in Rochelle, as a matter of fact, it's not that far away, that we need to promote the use of ethanol. And I think we need to also promote the use of the soybean biodiesel. I think that that's going to be very beneficial for not only our state, but our nation as well. Give us some independence from foreign oil and to obviously help grow our economy in the state and in the nation as well. I think that'll help our ag producers and our citizens as well.
There's also been different alternative energies being looked at. You know, we have wind energy, more of that happening, looking at a solar plant out by the Rockford Airport. Are there other ideas like that or anything you would support in that?
Well, I think that we should always be open to looking at options as far as providing ourselves independence from foreign countries as far as our energy production. I think that all of those have a place as long as they are affordable. You know, I don't think that we need to be spending a lot of money on it worth something that doesn't have very much return on the investment. I think that that's something we always need to keep in mind.
Let's talk about labor and management relations and your position on right to work laws.
Well, I think that our unions and our employers should have the same relationship in government as they do in private industry, where you have the private employer and the management and union relationship. I do think that with right to work, we need to really examine that very carefully and take a look and see that it provides us with the kinds of reforms that we need and that make us a business-friendly state, because I think that's our biggest issue right now. We need to have some balance between the business and the labor unions, and we need to watch that we don't shift too far in one direction or the other. But I think that the overall issue in Illinois is we need to work together to create jobs, maintain the jobs we have, and build our economy. And that's the way that we're going to do it, is a cooperative effort between all the people involved that are going to actually get down to work and make sure that our economy grows by growing those jobs.
Social agenda. Where do you feel, is there a way you feel like you could summarize where you stand? You know, some people say, I'm a fiscal conservative, social. Do you have any feel, you know, overall, socially, can you sum yourself up?
Sure, I can sum myself
okay.
up.
Okay.
Actually, fiscal conservative, absolutely. I'm certainly a fiscal conservative in regards, I served 17 years as the DeKalb County treasurer. It was a wonderful job. DeKalb County is very well run and well managed fiscally. Certainly, we paid our bills on time. We had a balanced budget, and we always had money in the bank to invest. Certainly, it's been a little bit of a shock to me to come to the state of Illinois and find that none of those things are true in the state of Illinois. So that's a little horrifying. But it's certainly that I'm a fiscal conservative as far as, you know, we do need to start doing those things. We need to manage our money better. We need to take a look and make sure our bills are getting paid. I think that's one of the things that's harming our economy in Illinois is we're just not paying our bills on time. So we are basically balancing our budget on the backs of our businesses and our citizens. So that's problematic. We have about an $8.5 billion backlog in bills right now. We need to have a balanced budget. I was interested to see when, you know, last year was my first year for a budget process, first year there. And I was interested to see that they said, well, we got almost a balanced budget, which I'm kind of thinking you either are or you're not. It's not almost. But they said, well, the only thing is we're pushing off $2 billion in Medicaid bills that we're not paying into next year, which basically said to me, you're $2 billion out of balance is what you really are. So I think that kind of thinking has to be corrected. We have to make sure that we really are honestly balancing the budget. We're not using fuzzy math to just, make it look like it's balanced. And then I think we need to support our employers so that we, again, have that job creation and bring in those income taxes and have some stability in the system. So, and then as far as social issues, I'm a social conservative as well. I'm a pro-life candidate. I support the marriage initiative where the marriage is between a man and a woman. I'm opposed to gambling. And I think in my district that is a huge issue. And the constituents that I talk to are all opposed to gambling. I think it's, not good public policy. I think gambling is not a reliable source of revenue. And I don't think that I think it leads to a lot of social ills, bankruptcies, divorces, and those types of things. And I think Illinois can do better.
What do you? How far should the government go in dealing? The state government go in dealing with abortion rights?
I think that we need to be very involved in that. Actually, I think we need to protect our children. Right now, we have we've just closed down the abortion mill in Rockford, which was a long, hard-fought battle. And as a matter of fact, two have been closed down in Illinois in the last couple of years. So I think we're making progress there. I think that, I think that right to life is very important for our citizens, both on the children that aren't born yet, and then in the other end of the spectrum when you have senior citizens, that they have the right to life as well.
And same-sex couples, we now have civil unions. Is that something that you're supportive of? And then there's now a bill being introduced about marriage, gay marriage. So mm-hmm. what do you think of those?
No, I oppose the gay marriage issue, and I was not in the General Assembly to vote on civil unions, but had I been, I would have been adamantly opposed to it. Voters in 30 other states have been able to cast ballots to pass a constitutional amendment to protect marriage as defined between a man and a woman. And I think Illinois voters have been denied that opportunity, even though it's been proposed for the last 6 years. So I certainly would support that type of state constitutional amendment.
What do you see as the best approach to reducing this state debt?
Yeah, we've talked about it. I think it's a dual approach. I think that we've taxed our citizens way beyond what we should be. And obviously, we've taxed our businesses because they're packing up and moving out. So I think on the revenue side, what we really have to do is get our out-of-control spending under control. It's amazing to me that I have fellow legislators that come up and say, I want to talk to you about starting a new program. Right after we have a conversation about how the budget doesn't balance and we've got a backlog of bills. So I think that people are starting to get the hint now that we're really, but I think that's going to be a painful time in the next few years where, the Senate Republicans went through last spring and did a 5-year budget projection. And at the end of 5 years, that budget projection, assuming that our revenues are the same and that we're following the governor's budget, would projected us at $22.6 billion in the red at the end of 5 years, which is not acceptable. So what we need to do now, and what we did with that, and actually you can find it on realitycheck.com, is we set up a five-year proposal where we would cut spending by roughly $5 billion a year. And I think that's the point that we're in right now. That's something that our citizens know. We expect our citizens to live within their means, not spend more money than they have, pay their bills on time, and, you know, save a little money. And I think that's what the state needs to do as well. We need to be cutting some spending and taking some serious look at the programs and where we're spending our money.
And at this point, there are probably not very many easy cuts. Are there areas?
No, you know, there aren't really any easy cuts. Well, there were a few this year. We got rid of some smaller things that are, you know, cell phones and pagers and things that we were paying for people. We got rid of some of the fleet of cars that people were driving home. So those are easier, but they're small. One of the things we're trying to do is combine the state treasurer and state comptroller's office, and we would be able to save about $12 million a year with that. Those are, you hate to say $12 million is small, but in the scheme of a $35 billion budget, it's a small impact. So what we'd like to do now, and what we're going to be forced to do, is take a look at some of our bigger items that we spend our money on. And those two big items are Medicaid and pensions.
What sets you apart is the best choice for this?
I think what sets me apart is my fiscal conservatism and my years as the DeKalb County Treasurer. You know, you need to send somebody to Springfield who understands money and budgeting and who certainly has not been part of the problem. I think, you know, when you have an opponent that's been there for almost 20 years, that's just too long. And I think over the years, perhaps he's been started out as a conservative, but now over the years has grown more socially liberal. And I am kind of a true blue conservative that is going to stay true to those values. I don't support the gambling issue. I don't support medical marijuana. I didn't support the DREAM Act, where you give scholarships to undocumented aliens. So I think that those types of things differentiate me from my opponent, where I'm far more much conservative. I have a farming background. You know, obviously this district is comprised of a lot of farms and farmers, and I grew up on a farm and understand the farming industry, and I'm a farm owner, actually. So those kinds of things, I understand the district very well and actually currently represent 75% of it. So I think that's what makes me the best candidate for this position.
And are there any other issues that we didn't touch on you see as very important to the state now?
I think that the biggest issue with the state right now is getting our finances under control. One of the things that I always tell people is when your finances are not in order, it really makes the rest of your life difficult. We all know that personally, you know, you have your finances in disarray and your refrigerator breaks down. It really, or your car, makes life very difficult to get anything accomplished. And I think that's the position that the state is in right now, is we really need to get our finances in order. That, you know, when we talk to people, you know, their number one priority is get the fiscal house in order first. You know, I think the other thing that people talk to me about, which is kind of a totally different subject, is concealed carry and the Second Amendment rights, which we haven't really touched on today. But I do support concealed carry. I'm a life member of the NRA, and I have actually sponsored a bill this year in favor of concealed carry to bring that to Illinois. So I think that's something that our citizens want, and we're the last state in the union and still don't have it. So I think the pressure is on for that to come forward this year.